So, we got a notice that was sent on the owner of Hickory Notch, Mr. Granda. That was sent by registered mail. I don't have the receipt, but I believe it was sent in the proper time period. We had to put a notice in the paper of the public hearing. We've done that. We had to file a copy of the notice with the county clerk. We did that. And the notice said that the building has to be secured or removed and shall commence within 20 days of the service of the notice, which is October 9th. Would have been 20 days, and I even added a couple extra days. In the event of the failure of persons so notified to comply with said order of the town board within the time frame provided, the town may proceed to safely repair and or demolish and remove said building or structure. So the order is that you adopted last month. The order is that the commencement of the removal or secure of the buildings has to start by October 9th. So as of October 10th, which I think is next Tuesday, if there isn't any work that's commenced at that point, you can proceed to get your bids or whatever you're going to do to demolish the buildings.
So we would have to wait until after that period of time to put out an RFP, or do you think we should act on something, to give more through?
It doesn't hurt to do an RFP now and have it ready,
right,
because it doesn't cost us anything.
Have it ready to go.
Right, to start doing a scope of work on
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
because if that's where we're going to go, we need to get it to over there before November, so.
Right. I mean, we're on a very tight timeline to get that reimbursed in this particular year on the tax relief, if that were the case, especially the time we got a contractor on site.
Not a huge job.
No, it looks like it's...
And there's quite a few contractors that will bid on it, so...
Okay.
So you can start on October 10th. If there's no... If commencement has not taken place on October 10th, Matt would go out there, Matt or somebody else in his office would go out there and take a look. And if it doesn't look like any work has started, you can start on October 10th and start to tear down.
I mean, I guess we're going to have to make it, because in the code it says that we may, so that's still going to have to be a decision that the board, if that's the right, do we need a resolution to saying that's the approach that we want
yes.
to take on that?
Yes.
We need something more.
Yeah, you can do that right now. You can say if the
public hearing broke here.
Once we get out of the public hearing, you can say if no work has commenced by October 10th, that you're going to proceed
with the removal of the said properties or dwellings.
Okay.
So with that, we got the public hearing open.
Yep.
And we want to hear if there's anybody in the audience tonight that has concerns about the property in question, formerly known as Hickory Notch in the hamlet of Palinville. And let's see what it looks like. I don't want to be sure. I can't quite read it. But it's in the notice of property ID. Should I read that off to...
Yeah, it's 184.00-5-24. And if you remember, there's a number of buildings there. And what we did is we gave him an aerial with our notice. We sent him an aerial and we identified there's four buildings, four of the number of buildings that are there, four buildings that Matt identified as the ones that are hazardous. They're an attractive nuisance. And they're dangerous to remain standing. So he was given notice of which of the buildings on his property were the subject of the order.
Okay. And that's also, I believe, known as 3462 Route 23A, loan parcel ID. So if we have no other comments from the floor or anybody from the town board that want to have any questions or concerns or weigh in on the matter.
Close the public hearing.
We've got a motion to close the public hearing by Jared Giordano. Seconded by Dawn Scandipico. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. The public hearing is now closed. In follow-up on that, do you want to have a motion from someone? second public hearing we have is, we want to do the tax cap, we got a public hearing for that too, so with our tentative budget out just to, as a precautionary item, or it could be a necessary item as well, but it was recommended that we pass a resolution to override the tax cap for various reasons, and, you know, associations of towns and comptroller's office, that's, you know, a highly recommended item that we should do as a town board on an annual basis, regardless of what that budget may or may not look like. So with that, I need to entertain a, first of all, if there's any questions from anybody out in the audience tonight that has a question on the tax cap override. Anybody at the town board level have any questions? So here we have got a motion by Councilman Giordano to close the public hearing. Seconded by Paul Bosberg. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried to close the public hearing on the tax cap override. All right, so we have one additional public hearing that's been open for say a month or two now, probably 2 months, and that's about code revisions. Town Attorney Ted Hilscher is with us tonight. He's worked along with the Planning Board, Zoning Board, and the Town Board to take recommendations and hearing comments from prior meetings from the audience and town residents and such like that. So at this point, we're ready to, again, review the changes of the changes and see if they're any other questions from the general public or questions from the town board. And I guess we'll start coming through.
When was the last time you said that?
What did I tell you?
September 27th.
Yeah, it was the last one. September 27th at 10:51.
I got to go back to that one now. COVID.
I got the 25th.
I got mine on
9:25. Okay, 9:25.
Oh, those are the ones I put on the website.
9:25 at 2:16. Gotcha.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the zoning one, Ted. First off, you want to go over?
Well, yeah, just as a general comment, so the board made recommended changes to, there's four chapters, which we have listed there on September 25th, and I made the changes that I believe the board recommended, and then they were posted by the clerk on the website, so the public has had an opportunity to review, you know, not only the long-standing proposals, but the most recent proposals.
And what were the changes? I forget.
We'll go over them. I got it. So I'll go over each one by one. So chapter 51 is planned development districts. So the changes, if you look, it's chapter 51, and the changes that the town board, take your time.
Is it, what is it, like 160 something, or it's just a full chapter?
It's a full chapter, it's chapter 51, it's brand new, it should be in your
zoning document?
I don't know if it'll be an attachment,
It's about its own. That's why it's its own. That's why
you see 51.
Yeah, now because I was under zoning at first too. It's a separate PDF.
Try the website. It's on the website also.
Yes, that's the bottom. This is
there. You go. Okay. So the ones that we changed that the board directed that we changed is. A B, number 6, we're going to have the ability to do a PDD in all districts.
This is chapter 51?
Chapter 51,
B
6.
B 6.
B is in boy. An applicant may propose and the town board may establish a PDD in all districts, which was a change.
Why does that show up in red?
Yes. No. It's in red. Is yours in red?
No.
Oh, it isn't?
No. Not on the iPad.
Yeah.
I think I'm...
That's why I'm having a hard time.
That's why it's hard for us to follow.
That's all right. So I'll go one by one. We'll take our time.
Okay.
All right. So, 5102B is in boy.
Okay.
A PDD shall have a baseline of at 10 acres for residential, 3 acres for commercial, 5 acres for industrial uses, where an applicant can demonstrate the characteristics of his, that the characteristics of his holdings will meet the objectives of this article. Projects with less acreage will be considered and further provided, there's a typo, that in the event that the town board is considering a project with less acreage, the affirmative vote of not less than 4/5 of the members of the town board shall be required to establish such a planned development district. So we got 10 acres for a minimum for residential, 3 acres is a minimum for commercial, 5 acres is a minimum for industrial, but the town board can override those minimums with the 4/5 vote.
So, I don't remember talking about it. Why didn't we do 3 acres for commercial and 5 acres for industrial? I think why not just talk for both?
That's what was there. Yeah, we didn't talk about that.
I thought we did.
Residential. We talked about that in the supermajority vote to override. Yeah.
You thought the 10 acres was too big. You thought the 10 acres was too large.
No, I mean for 3 acres for commercial and then 5 acres for industrial. I'm just curious why we didn't make them all the same. That's all.
I thought that that was what I had in my notes.
I think we talked about that.
I think we just talked about the residential.
You can make them whatever you want. You want to make them both 3? You want to make them both 5? Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I mean they're in the commercial and industrial. That's the only reason why I asked.
Okay,
that.
Make them both 3.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that.
That's easy.
Industrial, I thought, should be bigger, but that's, I mean, in either one, 3 is a little, that's small for industrial, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you would think it would be a bigger project anyway, but
yeah, which you know, right? You don't want to limit something that, you know.
Well, really helping something because we can just vote.
You're going to vote, right? In the end, you're voting on it.
Right.
If you don't like it, you can say no. Sure.
But then you've got to have 4 out of 5 people on the same page, which, sometimes it's difficult.
Now that land.
I guess there could be, I don't know what industrial really, you know, what's that mean? You know, industrial uses, I mean, I have to look at the definition of what, you know.
What's the difference between commercial and industrial? Is manufacturing the big difference?
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. Why?
You know, what's really the, if you looked at, we'd have to go back in our definition to see what, the, you know, because industrial, I start looking at a cement plant, you know, something of large scale.
Right. Right. A commercial can be. A strip mall. I mean, that's a low impact, except for traffic, probably. Whereas an industrial is more of an impact on the environment.
Yeah. Okay.
So, do we do 5, or do we vote to make it 3 if somebody has less property?
I mean, 3 acres is quite a bit of land. And again, it depends on what the you know what I mean.
That's fine.
I mean, because you're not, if it doesn't fit, you would hope the town board's not, you know, you're not going to put it in. Like an example of an industrial, which is industrial now, is the old American thermostat that was there for all those years. I don't know how many acres they have, but as an example, I mean, you'd probably be pretty cautious to do another something like that in an area that's more residential today.
I think that's quite a large.
That's a big parcel. That's
15 acres, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So 3 is for if you're gonna do industrial. To me, I'm thinking you're gonna have employees showing up and parking. You know, you're probably just
leave it at 5.
I mean, it's just
a question.
Yeah, I think 5. I don't.
5, leave it at 5.
Don't you guys?
You can always lower it.
You can always lower it. True. And if you don't like it,
but we don't really know that we can lower it. Does it scare someone? You know, that's my only. You know what I mean?
Well, if they're going around considering a project with less acreage in terms of vote, yes.
If they're going around the PUD, then they've read this, so they should know.
Right. If they're doing a PUD or PDD, they're already got 20,000. If they get to the town board, they got a super large, you know, they got 20,000, 30,000 involved with doing it before they even show up here. All right, what's the next one?
Is it being left at 5? Industrial's being left at 5?
I think because that's big.
Now that I forget where that language came from. Dale gave me the municipality. I forget where it was, but if you look at right below that D and we didn't talk about this, but I took it, I just added it in for something to think about. I took it, whatever that municipality was, New Scotland or whatever it was, at least 35% of the gross area of the PDD shall be and remain green space. I just took that number that they have. We could take that
number. I think it's all right.
We could take that totally out, or you could.
I think 35 is huge. That's.
Do you want to take that totally out?
Can you change that to be at least 35% or a contribution to the?
35 is too much.
35.
No, I'm not saying that. At least 35% or a contribution to the town's. What's that fund, Ted?
The parkland fund.
Yeah.
I mean, I think 35 is a little heavy too.
Right, but you can reduce it by making a donation to the parkland fund.
Yeah, the only
thing. That's 10 to 5.
5 is.
I mean, 5, I mean,
on 100 acres.
Yeah.
35. Even if it was.
Well, I see what you're looking at as far as if it's a townhouse, if it's a. It's a residential developer, you want them to keep green space.
Right, we want, right. But 35 is a lot of green space.
20?
Yes.
For residential?
I think 20 for residential is good.
I say 5.
I mean, if it's going to be residential, if it's going to be townhouses, they're going to have green space there.
Right, the only reason I like
it. I think that might be, and that might be in our town. Our townhouses may probably be national part of we got a density thing going on already. What's our density?
A lot of people don't know that's off the top. 10%
green space. Okay.
But we do have some density thing in the other ones. But again, this supersedes all that if we're going into this.
Yeah, this is completely different.
Right. But we do have density, you know, already.
You want
to no, the only reason I brought up the, okay, you can put it to the fund rather than have the 35%.
Yeah, the only,
it'll feed the fund.
Yeah, the only caveat on that is that the town law, and not our law, but the state town law, requires that for residential subdivisions. So it's got to be residential. If you have other kinds of subdivisions, that's not a residential development, you can't collect parkland fee.
But I think another
thing, for any time you're opening green space.
And if we ever got to this point here, I think that, you know, then it's a everything is probably a little, you know, they might have something in their business model to make it look attractive for the town board.
So that's like 10%.
Take it out?
No, I think 10 is a good thing. Because you want, if you're going big, you want to have a little green space and buffers. And
well, I said 5, they said 10, how about 7.5?
I was saying 15. So
I was thinking 15.
15? Holy good golly.
So 10's a compromise, right?
That's a hell, that's a great one. Right. That's a good one.
I like the 7.5.
Me too.
That's not much. That's not much. If you got 10 acres an acre, that's, you know, that's a big
portion. Or the drainage issue. Remember the drainage issue.
That's a lot of. Yeah.
Not if you,
remember
if
the drainage problems that parking lots pose.
Yeah, that's not green space, so that's yeah. Part. You know, green is.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, 10%.
I mean, usually they do like in, you know, where I used to work alongside the throughway. They kept that's their green space because nobody wanted to be right on top of the fence anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a buffer. Yeah, they use that as their buffer. Exactly what they do.
So we've got 2 in favor of 7.5.
Do I? I'm
not
10%.
10%. Do I? You good with 10?
Yeah.
All right.
That's a 35 is kind of.
Yeah, yeah. That's all right. That's it was just a marker to have a conversation.
Okay.
The other thing is you wanted to make sure that the town board and not just the planning board can engage consultants at the expense of the applicants.
Yes.
We put that in there, and that's at 5103.
B3.
Town board may engage in consultants at the expense of the applicants to assist in its evaluation in accordance with D, section D of this section. Okay. And I think the last thing is Patrick had a good, this is a good catch. So mobile homes, this only applies to new mobile, oh, I'm sorry, it's 5106, it's all the way at the end, 5106, it only applies to new mobile home parks, it doesn't apply to individual mobile homes, and it doesn't apply to expansion of existing mobile home parks. Okay? So that's chapter 51. All right. Yep, chapter 90, unsafe buildings, you approved that the last time. Let's see. Chapter 115, junk, you approved that the last time. The next one is shipping containers.
Let's go.
Everybody sitting down? Liz, you ready?
Ready.
All right. So, and again, I think I follow what you were talking about. So, if you look at 132A, we're up to.
Yeah.
A-3.
Yeah.
A-3. Shipping containers are allowed in industrial, general commercial. So we added general commercial.
What
number is 3? A-3.
A-3. Do you have Word on your iPads?
Probably not.
If you have Word on your iPads, the red should have left. So open it in Word.
I don't think I did. I don't think
you're assuming that some of us know how to do that, Patrick?
No, I don't think I have Word on it.
Word. Yeah, but it opens up.
Where do you find Word on there? Should be an icon or anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think, I know I didn't.
Even if it's not red, it should be underlined his amendment.
No, not on the.
No.
No.
It's underlined, but it's not red.
Is it underlined?
No, it's
mine's underlined.
Yeah, they're underlined. They should be underlined.
That's what I'm saying.
Mine
too.
Yeah,
mine
is too.
Yeah, mine is like use of shipping containers and industrial general, so that is underlined.
Yeah, it should be underlined. That's it.
Emissions of a container permit.
So we added general commercial, so now it's industrial, general commercial, highway commercial, and once you get it, you get it. It's not for 5 years. You don't have to reapply. Except in the instance of a new commercial use, which you have to comply with site plan review in any way.
What do you think about that site plan review section of it, though? I mean,
well, site plan review doesn't pertain to this. It pertains to if you have to have a site plan review under the site plan language, then you need a site plan review. So if you have a brand new commercial use and you need a site plan, and your site plan happens to include shipping containers,
right,
you still have to have site plan review.
Yeah. Right, but so what happens if one resident out in the RA wants to put a container?
Oh, that's RA. You have site plan review in RA.
This is just commercial.
Just yeah.
Right.
Now,
if you're a commercial now, you're up and running, you can put a container in on your, without a site plan review.
Right, right.
Because you're already approved as a commercial, you should put up to 5 with it.
Right.
Because we have a lot of those.
Right.
Which isn't a bad, you know, I mean, they do compliment somebody. I guess if you need more than 5, maybe it's time to put up another building or something, you know, but, I mean, they are.
But cheaper. That's the whole thing.
They're not taxable.
Right. So the idea is that in general commercial, highway commercial, industrial, they're permitted.
Right.
They're permitted.
And what's the container permit going to be? Do we have a.
We have language on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pre-mutual.
Yeah. Now I'm on number 6, right below. Existing shipping containers grandfathered, and you have to register with the building department within 6 months of the date of this law.
All right. So, are we going to go around the whole town of Cottsville and do an inventory of all the shipping containers that are there?
We know that's not going to happen.
Right.
So there's no way really
to know where.
So just take that out and just say they're grandfathered. I mean,
the difference is we're not. How are we going to know that they're there or not?
Right.
Unless you get a complaint.
That's how it works.
But they could say, well,
yeah.
It was previous to this law going into effect,
right.
Is my point.
Right.
On this.
Well, and then what happens is somebody says, you know, they call up Matt and they say, Paul Bosberg just put in last week, he put in a shipping container. And Paul Bosberg says, no, I had it there 17 years ago. So okay. So,
right.
So that that's, you know, I mean, we deal with that all the time.
I mean, with our new mapping, though, with all this aerial photos, I mean, it starts to become, you know.
But if it, I mean, he's got a point there, but if it goes back to, okay, it's been there 17 years, that's great, but now did you get a permit and did it meet the setback requirements? That's what you guys could go after at that point.
Well, if it's,
no, it's
grandfather, but then you would still have to go for that 180 days. Then.
That's what we're proposing.
Right.
That's what I'm proposing. The alternative is, if it's grandfathered, it's grandfathered. I mean, that's
right. I mean, the only thing would go on 180 days, and anything, you know, you start kind of getting another line there, I guess. But then again, you still don't know when the damn thing arrived. If it was there on, you know, 30 days, or it was there on, you know, 375.
Well,
and the only way you can tell that is if you look at aerial photos.
Right, but to go on GIS, and it's only every 4 years, right? It's not every year that they update the GIS. Is it? 180 days, that's 6 months.
Yeah,
GIS doesn't move back 6 months.
Well, that's just
right.
About these guys, man.
Right.
So are you going to catch somebody that doesn't renew in 6 months? I mean, are there going to be people that don't renew in 6 months?
I would say 95% of them. I could tell you this,
I would say 90% will know about the law. So.
Right. I mean, so that, I think that's the drawback. Even with the STR thing that we have going on, I mean, the compliance, either they... I would think if you're renting an STR out yet, you might want to start thinking about, am I doing everything in...
Almost already goes.
If you have this container out here, I don't think anybody's going to think twice about it.
With the STRs, we should send a letter to the tax bill.
Well, if a new one moves in and the neighbor is upset about it, the neighbor is going to call the code enforcement within a couple of days.
That's right.
And that person is not going to be able to say, oh, that's always been there.
Right. I don't think the 100, I can live without the 100.
Okay.
You guys have
a grandfather.
You think so?
Yeah. Grandfather, and that's it.
Yep.
Okay.
But going up to 4 real quick.
Yeah.
This is what Dale brought up when we asked him the other one about site plans.
Yeah.
So if I live in RA, rural agricultural, and I want to put a shipping container, I have to go for a site plan review?
That's what we have so far. That's what we have so far, because that's a residential zone. That's what the proposal is, right?
That's going to
bog
down the planning board.
I get it with the planning board, but
so a good example. I mean, we've been doing a lot of riding around.
I got it.
And a lot of those areas that we're in are rural residential.
That's right. And there's
shipping containers all over the place.
I mean, I think instead of bogging it down with the planning board, couldn't we come up with a good list of rules and say, because, I mean, I got that complaint from one of our residents 6 months ago. I said, do you mean to tell me that you're, and it might have been, I don't know if it was a generator.
Shouldn't just be there to obtain a permit?
Right. If they got a permit and Matt had, and they met the set, because look, if somebody wants to build a 12 by 14 shed, they just come in and get the permit.
Right.
So I want to kind of view it that way.
So number 4 will say, use of the shipping container for more than a period in excess of 60 days on lots in rural agricultural requires a permit from the code enforcement officer.
Yes. Correct.
Except for use on
agricultural property.
And then at that point, we should have a well-devised application saying,
right.
You know, your 3 colors. We want a brown, green, and you know, it's got to fit in a little bit.
We've already got that.
Because I mean, look at it.
We got that.
And I talked to
or if they want to match it to the color of their house,
right? And I talked to Matt about that. Like you said, he didn't have a problem with it. It's in RA, and you got 3 acres, and that thing is in the back of your property, and your neighbor behind you has 20 acres, and nobody sees it. But again, it still is a courtesy. I still think regardless of where they are, they should be painted so they're not...
Right.
You know, eventually somebody could change...
Could the setbacks be amended a little bit or no?
I mean, how RA is 30 feet off your property line now. I mean, that's pretty extensive.
total of 30 feet.
Total of 30.
On the sides, right?
On the sides. Actually,
I think it's 30 on the sides, 20 on the sides. And I think
it says 20
50.
To 50.
I thought it was
50 is on the back, on your back. On your rear of your property is
right.
50.
It says here, though.
And the sides are 30. I'm fairly certain of that.
Where was the bottom?
Be in that chart, I think, if you're looking at that.
Yeah, I found it. It's down towards the bottom.
I mean, I'm good with that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says 20 feet from side or rear lot line. And
what,
50 feet from side. What's that?
What zone?
So that's going to be B. We're still under the same category we're on now. So you go to regulations 132A3 and then go down to.
You'd have to look on the table. But we don't, I mean, whatever there are for shed, it should be, you know, I'm okay with that anyway. Anybody else got a comment on that, on the setbacks?
Well, let's see, setbacks in RA.
I just don't want to have somebody come in that really needs it, and it kind of hurts the calendar on the planning board.
Right. Well, okay.
They got enough bigger business that we should be taking care of than that.
Setback in RA is 30 foot.
30 on the side.
30 on the side. Rear.
50.
Is 100 without public water, 50 with public water, 30 with public water and sewer.
So you're back there.
And front yard setback is 50.
Yeah, that was definitely.
Uniformly.
Right. I'm good with that.
Yeah. All right, so the rules are for the.
Just gives a little protection for.
The rules are under number letter E.
Yes.
E?
Yeah.
132.
E. 132A.
132A3E. Which should be a little further along. And if you look at number 3, 3, and then there's a list of what the rules are.
Should be like a hurt tongue.
It's like, right, if you ever did zoning over, I mean, that shouldn't be your right? Because my neighbor couldn't put anything. They don't have one.
It was like an earth tone color. Right?
Earth tone, uniform earth tone, it says.
Yep, I like that.
Appropriately screened with landscaping equal to the height of the container. I don't really like, I'm just looking at this for the first time, if directed by the building inspector. Why don't we say something like, if visible from a neighboring parcel, rather than making it discretionary with the building inspector.
There you go.
If visible from a neighboring parcel, it's got to be screened.
Yeah, just take the building inspector out.
Yeah, take the building inspector out. If it's not viewed from a neighboring parcel, who the heck cares, right? How does that sound?
I mean, you got to have a lot of land before it's not visible from a
What he's trying to say, if it's a 20-foot setback or a 30-foot setback on a side,
no,
you can see.
You're there. Keep going. Go to three. Keep going. There you go. That's it right there.
I was thinking,
no, we're reading the colors.
Because I don't want, because a neighboring, if you see it from the road, it's probably from the
public road.
Public road or neighboring.
Yeah, probably, because I don't want to go. Cause
or neighboring.
Or neighboring parcel.
Sorry.
Just like this uniform earth tone color.
Yep.
Which is fine, or to match the color of your home.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to? I don't want to paint something brown when it matches white. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're trying to make things.
Yep.
You see, they are pink like this, like you said.
We
don't
pick color in the zone.
We passed a beautiful purple house.
Yeah, but you want a purple house with a purple container?
I'd
rather match the, you know, the woods that are out there.
I think it would stick out if it matched the woods.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, the wood of the natural, if you're on RA, you've got park and all that, it would be, when you look out your yard, it would be kind of blended more.
So in the spring, are we going to paint it green and match the leaves?
And then fall right over.
It's pretty
cool. Have to paint it to match the color of the leaves.
Right, that's a good idea.
Well, I know somebody that has one of these, and they got it painted up brown, and they got landscaping on it, and you hardly know what's there. He's got a brown house.
They can have a 10-foot fence and remote.
So that's the, you have an opaque fence or similar tire of equal height, so you can't put a fence in.
Right. I mean, and getting it way over the top of them, that's tough too, really. I mean, you know, the completely high, I think, is difficult.
Are they all 10 feet or?
No, they're 8 foot.
They're 8 feet.
They're 8 feet. Are they not 10 feet?
Oh,
no.
No, and they're not admitted. So where are we looking at 310?
Actually, I don't even think they're equal.
E.
I think they're 7.
Right, so we,
F is we're going to have a firm, solid base.
What's that mean? Gravel? Not concrete, though, right? I mean, a firm base, I mean...
And nobody's going to pour a slab for 60 days.
Ted,
this is
a low-bearing screen from the road,
this is
from the neighboring.
It should be like if you put a shed in.
Is that what you put there?
You put a gravel base.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's solid. I don't know, I think it should be a firm surface.
You should be able to see that dirty piece from there.
I think the solid's not really, because that means that you're really...
I just wanted to confirm on that.
And that's
what I'm sure. Cement blocks.
Right, they put it on cement blocks of a shed.
A firm base?
Yes.
Okay.
Just solid.
Stable base.
Yeah, a solid, I don't know what that is.
A stable base, perhaps?
Because a lot of people bring in gravel, you know, they kind of level up their land and their property, and then they put the shed on there.
Yeah.
All right, and then the rest of the changes, we're just changing it over to general commercial. So, and I took out dwelling prohibited. That's at I, if you get that far. 3, the next section, letter I, dwelling use prohibited, that's removed. And that was it.
Everybody comfortable with where we are?
Yeah.
Are we keeping in the color of the house? You didn't decide upon that.
I'm not on that one, but I'm only one person. So I don't know. Does everybody like the color or the color of your house on the container?
We, as far as I know, we don't depict color in other portion of our zoning. So I don't think we should here either. So we don't have in our zoning that your house can't be purple. We don't have that it can't be bright.
Well, we do want it painted of some sort so that all the lettering is right. But they got to be painted. In other words, we don't want something that says Hamburg, Germany, or you know, all those decals around, like the one that we see one holes in the one in that one yard.
But he also talked about the screening, so he wouldn't even see it anyway.
You know, because it's picked up, they're not a rust bucket.
At all.
Yeah. As long as they're maintained properly, I don't, you know. Like I said, you just don't want to say, like,
I would just leave it for earth tone.
So, earth tones or no earth tones?
Or shall be painted in uniform color.
They definitely should be painted, though. I mean, you don't want to have decals.
Well, we also...
Of some sort.
If I say uniform color, it's only one color instead of six different...
Uniform color. Uniform from a public road.
All right, so in other words, they can't use it as a billboard.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right.
Okay, very good man out there.
Everybody's good with that uniform color,
right.
And they won't describe the color.
Right.
Is that good?
Yeah.
And then the screen thing, right? Use it.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Solar energy systems, that was...
Well, in RA, that's different. You must have seen it from the road. Because, like, otherwise, we got a lot of commercial places. You do see it from the road.
Yeah.
You know, like, on 32. Somewhere 32, really. Because I like kind of... I don't want to get into this. But if you're in a highway commercial area or an industrial area, and you're using it as residential, that doesn't mean you put it in your front, you know, right in your front yard.
All right, if you want to take a quick look at 134B, which is solar energy systems, there's one change.
Solar energy stuff.
And it's in, it's towards the end.
70. So C.
134B9.
134B9.
C8. And we changed it. It said you had to C8. It said the site had to be mowed, plowed, or otherwise cultivated, or other open space devoid of trees. I added there.
Right. So that means like, but that is going to take if you have open, if you have a It could be a, who knows, it could be a macadam driveway.
A ground zone, a ground field.
Right, quarry.
Yep.
We're just trying to prohibit somebody from deforesting a,
yep.
A clear cut hole, 30 acres or whatever we're going to have down there.
Okay.
I'm okay with that, right?
Okay.
Pretty clear. All right,
so the last but not least is...
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
Since we're on solar.
Yep.
Is there any decommission for residential? Because it's becoming a issue.
I don't think we get any decommission.
I think that they don't have to submit a decommissioning plan.
No, but there should be some.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these solar that people have had on their house for the last 10, 15 years are coming to end of life.
Oh,
right?
That's good.
And there's no place for these things to go. I can't accept them because the state has them registered as hazardous waste. There's got to be something in there that these companies have to come back and take them or something.
Well, we got large scale covered.
Right.
Yeah.
I know large scale we do, but I'm saying residential is becoming an issue.
Yeah. Okay. So, 134B11, all the way at the end, second to the last section.
Okay.
Solar energy systems, that's all solar energy systems, are considered abandoned after 90 days without electrical energy generation and must be removed from the property. So, if you're a large scale, you have to... I think you got to post a bond, right?
Yeah.
But if you're a resident, you don't.
Right.
But where do they take it?
But that's the problem.
I don't know. What do you put there?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
I don't know.
Because it's becoming a...
That should be really addressed at the state
level.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if they're promoting...
I understand that, but that doesn't help.
They're promoting it. They're promoting it.
There's nickel cadmium in them, there's all kinds of stuff in there that can't go in a landfill.
Wow.
They're listed as hazardous material.
Wow.
That's a good question. So now I got people that are taking these things, smashing them up, trying to bring them in, broken up,
yes.
Ultimately, you don't
right.
know what it is.
Right. Yeah.
There's companies that will come take and recycle.
Solar panels?
Yep.
I mean, it's a problem.
Because that's one of the things I checked into before.
Our elected officials at the state. And
that's really above us.
It is. I mean, and that's why I think this 30% that they're looking for delivery charges. I mean, that's because they need to upgrade these switching stations. They need to get lines upgraded for solar activity. So we're paying for all these upgrades on grants and all that stuff with the lines. And now they want the customer to pay on the end user.
Well, because they want to make up for loss of users.
And I don't think they generate power. They don't have any scammers. So what I'm saying is we pay in our tax dollars for these incentives for everybody to buy their cars and solar panels. And now they want us to pay in their utility bills. So now we're going to pay for the grid. As a citizen, you're paying like three times for this car.
Everything that's good, that's green, it's green up front, and then it's bad later. And nobody can seem to see that. It's driving me nuts.
It's green up front, so they've got to change some of the stuff too. But it's really nice that there was a new section. Something new.
Here it is. Yeah. Fences.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right, so this is new.
That's not in this email.
This is new? Totally new?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this for the fences?
No, that right there is as of this afternoon.
This one?
Which I'll get to in a second. Okay, so we're looking at zoning now. And let's see here. This is what we didn't look at before.
Okay. Oh.
Let's see.
red line one. Site plan applications will not be approved.
Okay, so 160-33. All right, so let me back up here a second. Let's look at building and structure.
160-33?
This is 160-5, which is the definition
section. Now we've got a lot of scroll.
Yeah, dash five. Definitions.
So,
160-5, and then we're going to look at building, and we're going to look at structure.
Building, okay.
Building, okay?
Yep, all right. Got it?
So, I forget how this came up, but we were talking about accessory structures, and I looked at the definition. I think we talked about this a little bit.
Yeah, I think we touched on that.
Yeah, so we have a building, I looked at the definition of building and I looked at the definition of structure, and they're pretty bad definitions, and in fact they were almost interchangeable, which was one of the problems. A building is something that has a roof on it, and a structure is anything that's man-made that's above ground, and I also included in that swimming pools. Pavement is not a structure, but other than that, anything that's fixed to the ground, and the sort of the layman's definition is if it casts a shadow, it's a structure. So I looked at some other codes, and I came up with a definition of building: any roof structure intended for the shelter, housing, or enclosure of persons, animals, or personal property affixed to the ground. And then structure is anything constructed or erected, stationary, and fixed to the ground above or below the surface of land or water. Examples includes all buildings, stationary and portable carports, and swimming pools. Sidewalks are not structures. So structure and building are not interchangeable. Structures include buildings, but buildings don't necessarily include structures. So the next thing that
that's what I'm saying with that building thing in there.
So the next thing that I got to, which has caused us problems over time, is in our definition of building, it used to say, and it says as of right now, it says it includes fences over 6.5 feet tall are buildings. And we don't say anything else about fences anywhere else in our zoning law, which is bad. And a fence is not a building, so the whole thing is bad. So I fixed the definition of building, I fixed the definition of structure, and then I added, if you look at
160-33.
That's in
this.
Okay. I added...
60, 20, oh God.
And I think I took this from the village, or at least I took part of it from the village. 60,
fences, gates, walls, and vegetative screen.
Yeah, because it's fairly new for the village, too.
Basically what it says is there's fences, gates, walls, and vegetative screening are regulated, which they weren't before. What's good about this is it's measured from the lowest adjoining fixed grade, so you can't get around it by putting
a berm.
You can't
put a 4-foot berm in and then put a fence.
Not a loophole to put a berm and then put 6 feet on top of the berm. You can't do that.
Hold on.
Yeah.
So I have seen these decorative blocks. Right, that the people use to build a wall and
right.
put them on top. So you're saying that they can't do that?
No.
See, where is that?
That's a loophole. That's a loophole.
What's your example? Well, I can't visualize.
The mafia blocks.
The mafia blocks.
Yeah, what about?
So I've seen where people have them
as a retaining wall.
Yeah.
And then
have the fence on top of it.
Right.
So now you're saying they have to take that.
Because it's a retaining wall, they're fine. Retaining walls are fine. You can't. A retaining wall has land on this side.
So that's
a base. That's fine. What you can't do is you can't have this is the ground and this is the ground.
You if you're all on flat, if you're on flat ground, you can't put three mafia blocks up and put a fence. But if you can't put the top of the mafia
you
block,
can't do that.
Right.
Okay. Right. So the what I left for your interpretation, and I just picked these numbers because I whatever code I was using, I forget where they came from.
That now?
So if we look at 5 and 6, what we have here is in the front yard, your fence can't be more than 38 inches. For some reason, they used 3 feet, and then you added 2 inches. I don't know why, but that's what the code I was looking at did. So in the front yard, you got 3 foot.
Where is this?
It's number 5.
No, I see it here. What zone are we in?
I'm just saying,
this is everywhere.
3 feet.
Yeah.
My dog can jump 5 feet.
10.
Yeah, you can't have a dog. You have to have at least a 4 foot fence to adopt the door.
5 or 6 foot
fence.
No, we'll go 48.
Talk about, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because front yard fences don't look that great, but I mean.
48 with that joint.
Because I mean, you see them, there's one out on the street, but you know, and then I got another one that we had problems with.
There's one on my roof.
That's when they have all this stuff in that garage now.
So what about chain? Here's the.
Yeah, that's perfect.
You can have a chain link fence that pulls in a dog. But it doesn't create a visual barrier. That's what people don't like about fences in the front yard. It's a wall. You created a wall. If you have a chain link fence, you have a barrier for the dog, but you didn't put a wall.
Or an iron. I mean, it's see through.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
so you want
to? You're talking.
I'm
going
to use that as an example.
Wait, so
right?
I want to build a stone wall around
a lot of
that.
Right, but that's a gate. Right, but that's not a.
It says gates.
It's a gate.
It says gates. The height of a fence, gates, walls, and vegetation.
Okay, gate from the front.
Well, maybe it should be a solid fence. You know, because you do have these gates, so solid, so you
can slide it or something.
No, I don't think it should be solid.
No, it's solid. No. It should be right. It's like the gate that you were at with us at that. Yeah, that was a nice thing, but you could. It's not like you're.
It's wrought iron.
And it's visually good.
Right.
But if that was 6 inches all, 6 feet all the way around, then that becomes a little different.
We wouldn't be able to get through.
Right. So let me ask you this question. Just because you may have people that come to you, right? So if I need engineer approval, because you do anything over 6 foot to put a fence up, if you want to go 8 foot or higher, you need engineer approval. So if they wanted to go around that, they could take mafia blocks and go 2 foot and then put a 6 foot fence on top.
No.
Mafia blocks are retained.
Because what it says in there, you got to go from the surrounding grade level. In other words, you can't bring it up when the mafia block is a circumvent the system.
So so we'll make it 4 foot?
A
4 foot?
Because a lot of these new adoption agencies, if your yard is not fenced with at least a 4 foot.
But my neighbor, they probably got a 4, maybe higher, but there might be 4, but I mean, I don't think it's much more.
What
maybe
it's
the 5 at the
plastic
most,
with the slide.
But they got, but
I mean,
they
that's
got
why
got
my yard
is 4 feet, so
you
can
see
through.
What do you call it? What do you call it if you can see through the fence?
Vinyl sliding fencing?
Translucent? Transparent?
Oh, I think you mean like spaces between
a... Like a chain link fence, you can see through it. You don't
right.
want
a wrought iron.
Yeah, wrought iron, what do you call it?
So a front yard
is transparent. I mean,
a front yard...
So, can we just stop for a second?
Non-obstructive, I don't know what they would call that. It's going to come up with a name. There's a name for it, though, I'm sure. There's got to be...
I could try to come up with a name, a word.
So...
You got any suggestions as to what a fence is that's not...
That you can see
that's
through, what
so
is that called?
Translucent.
Visible fence.
Transparent.
I can't tell.
Not solid?
Why are we doing this? Well, I'm just curious.
Well, we don't regulate fences at all.
Well,
we have this
guy.
Yeah, no, we don't.
Now,
it says right here,
you don't want to regulate.
Picket fence is the most common example to see-through fence, as a see-through.
See-through?
That's what they say, as an
example.
Yeah, because there's space between the fence.
Yeah, right, see-through.
Or you can also build a fence using, it's called lattice see-through fence.
Yeah,
that's what they call it.
So the front yard should be see-through.
Because
well,
what?
If it's going to be, what? I understand what he's saying. If you can't see through it, it's an hindrance and it kind of looks. But if you have a see-through fence in your front yard, it should be able to be higher than the 4 feet.
Or if you
so the
because,
solid fence is limited to 4 feet.
What about anti-privacy
4 feet
fence?
Has to be transparent.
Anti-privacy fence. That means you can still see through it, but it's privacy to you as well. You can see through it.
Because again, no, there's a couple ways, and these gates were.
Yeah, I mean, but those will yeah, see through. But there, there's one or two around we'll see that are solid fence. And I and sometimes you wonder really.
Well, the perfect example is a front yard.
What's really going on?
Right, the one across from my house is probably the best example.
The perfect example of a privacy fence in the front yard.
Yep.
It's 600 feet tall, solid.
Good, not good. Privacy fence.
Well, if I want to go outside Sunday and they're looking on, I guess I would want that privacy.
I mean, look at the guy with the camper yesterday who went to. He had a solid 6 foot fence all the way around his place.
Now, you could.
What's the difference in the front yard or back yard?
Aesthetics.
Yeah, front yard.
No, but you're saying what's going on in this place is there's a fence.
Yeah, but if I put a stone wall, a 6 foot stone wall around my property, if I wanted to, it wouldn't look ugly. It would look beautiful. So I think it's. I mean, we're putting our opinions on other people's homes.
Right. It's almost like the junk thing, going back to the junk thing. One man's junk, another man's trash. You know,
I mean, we had a lady.
So, across the house was wall fall.
Right.
And that's what they decided to do, but they were raising walls.
And we've had a lady in cement that's been down in these meetings multiple times in the past, not quite in the recent years, but that's what she says. You know, that they had basically, let's say they may have code violations of this vehicle, that vehicle. So, their solution to it was. We'll just put a fence up so nobody sees it. So you can still have motor oil running into the stream, gasoline when the things leak, and nobody knows what's going on. You know, and not that you need to know, but I mean, I don't know. I don't like the total.
Do we want to regulate fences? Let's start with that.
No, we really don't.
No.
After for the fire company, they have to be a certain height for a fire.
Oh, there's a fire going through whatever fence you got.
Yeah.
Well, what are we going to do?
No,
do we have a height limit?
Remember on the size of the paper.
So what's I mean what's so what's no, I mean anything over 10 becomes a spike fence. I mean I think that's a or that's what I understand as a spike fence. In other words your neighbor might not like it, right? You know, your neighbor puts this up and then you just keep putting one higher. So and I just have an example of that.
Robert Frost.
So anyway, my neighbor, in our neighborhood, there's somebody's got dogs there, and they're doing this, and the dog's barking. So they, in our code now, it was a 6.5 foot fence, and then they get a fence company, and those fences either come in 6 or 7. So they had to come to the ZBA to put up a 7 fence. So I mean, we want somebody that wants to put a 7 foot fence up, have to come to the zoning board to put it up, and that's what we got now. You can't put anything up over 6.5 feet.
Back to the solid.
Yeah, because then it becomes a structure.
Right.
Do we really want people to come in for the ZBA to put a 7 foot fence up, which is professionally done, and it's going to look nice?
Well, because that also opens up to people doing a 7 foot fence on their own.
And corner lots, they don't like fences. Corner lots, because then you could obstruct the vision, especially in the front for traffic and things
like
that.
That's one of the reasons I'm
going to change. You can't pull out of the so you got to be careful for traffic.
That was my one question with a solid fence over 4 feet in the front yard is it can't impede vision. Because if it's a corner lot and someone needs to make a right or left turn and it's impeding vision.
Again, I'm not saying anything about solid fences. I'm saying if you wanted a 6 foot wrought iron fence in the front of your house.
I think that's fine. If it says see through, I think fences in the front yard should be see through for the most part.
Right.
And then if you don't like that, I guess you can come in and, I mean, would they be able to come in and
then if you don't
get a variance, then they could come in and see and get a variance.
Then
they
could go with a lower fence.
Could they get a variance on that? If they wanted to put a solid fence in the front, if we said it's got to be see through and you wanted to do something, They would, could they have a course?
Well, it's a self, that's a, that, they, really, they should never get it because it's a self-created hardship.
Exactly.
So you really.
So they should be getting a waiver on those things.
Right.
Or coming in, I get you.
So what do you want to do? Will we regulate fences or not?
I would say.
I say no.
I say no. I think if it's a problem, then somebody talks to somebody about the fact that it's a problem.
Well, right off the bat, I know there's a lot of shrub rows that are over 50 inches in people's front yards.
Yeah.
Right in Jefferson Heights.
Right. And they got a fence behind it. But again, a hedgerow, I mean, and you see that, but that's a natural thing again. That's not a fence.
Well, no, that's, yeah, that's in here.
Yeah.
Vegetative screening is a hedgerow.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And I, don't, I mean, head, and I would think that would be permissible, hedgerow for sure, because that's a natural. I mean, they're all
well, they're not. They're artificial. They're a fence. It's a type of fence.
Well, not, but I'm saying, if you want to put a hedgerow in a real vegetation that's planted, that's good. That's not a fence.
It's well, vegetative screening would be a hedgerow.
Well, it's the
so
same.
So if I want to put a
the same concept.
7 foot or 6.5 foot solid fence in my front yard. Nobody's going to care if I plant some trees in front of it. If I put a hedge that's 6.5 feet tall in front of it.
And for privacy, a hedgerow is probably the way to go.
Right.
First,
but your dogs can get through it.
I think this is getting way into overreach.
Yeah,
with some of this.
I agree.
I think a basic definition requirements of
fencing. About fences.
Well, I just feel somebody's paying $50,000 for a couple acres of property, they should be able to put a fence on it if they want to.
Well, as long as
my
it doesn't impede
my business.
As long as it doesn't impede public safety. If it's blocking
a curb. Side and rear is definitely. I mean, I think we're talking front yards, no?
How often do
corners and fronts
apply for them is the question.
Right now you don't have to apply
there. You just put a fence.
There's
right.
No there we have no regulations on fences. The only
except for height, and they have
height.
To be
well, and the only way we got at the height is because it was considered a structure.
Yeah. And 35 feet from the center line.
And I think we had structure was 6.5 feet. I think Ted, that's right. How that starts off.
Yeah, and so they have to be 35 feet from the center.
So you want to regulate corner lots? That's it.
I don't want to really regulate anything. I'm fairly limited the way it is.
My only thing with they can't impede public safety.
Has anybody?
Well, I have the same issue with shrubs.
Has
anybody
for anybody that you're aware of?
I think we should have something to regulate them because, you know, just going off of the issues that we had in the village, we should have at least a minimum of a definition of what fence is and what gate is. And if we want to regulate on people's properties, front yards, I think there should be 4 feet, backyard.
In the backyard, what's it? Seven?
Six. We got six.
Six.
Whatever you want. You want
seven?
You
can't buy a 6 foot.
Six. Either I would. I'd be in the backyard. I could even go.
Well,
with seven.
Require for pools of 5.5.
I think it's 48 inches.
No, it's
an
odd
number.
Yeah, it's an odd
number.
The pool requirement's an odd number.
So it's six.
What's
the
requirement?
Six. But I also don't think we should regulate what kind of material it is because some people can't afford vinyl fencing.
Right.
No, I don't think we do that.
What about some just put in there slotted something that you
never
see through?
I think
slotted see-through fencing, meaning wood, metal, vinyl, you know, word like that.
I did my own through one.
Non-privacy.
I think they put this. They got the walls and they got the nice.
No, I did wood.
They got the metal.
But I did tiles, so I mean, I did my whole wall.
I think it's paint.
Are we gonna pass everything else, and we would just want to table this?
Yes.
Or can we?
Are we gonna adopt this?
I'm ready to adopt them. You guys for the other stuff from right here.
I'm ready for the other stuff besides fences. So let's table fences.
But then we're never gonna come back to fencing.
There you go.
I mean, just you don't want to have nothing that kind of.
I mean, to be honest with you, we have the same issue with shrubs that are too close to the road, blocking people's. You to turn right and left.
An overgrown vegetation. And
I'm with Patrick. The less the better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't want anything, Patrick?
No, I just said less.
Well, yeah, less. I'm good with it, but I think we should have a minimum.
4 foot in front yard, 7 foot in side and back.
I would need to address the side and back.
Well, it's the front. The only reason we address the side and back, then they also go to ZBA.
Okay.
Because otherwise,
we're not in a consensus.
What do we got to do? What do we got
to
do?
Hang on a second.
We have to address it somewhere, or else they have to go to the ZBA.
Correct.
Because right now, there is a height thing.
I think seven.
Because if you buy a fence, it's 6.5, 2, 7.
Seven. I mean, and most people are 6 feet. Right. You've said,
and if your ground is a little more level,
yep.
How are you measuring? You know what I mean?
I mean, if you start to go 8, that starts to look like the, you know, like the Green Monster. Or
yeah, no.
That gets to be big.
All right. So what
I would want to see,
or it could be a beautiful fence.
Right.
I got 36 inches in the front.
I don't know, what's coming up?
48. We're running to 48.
Because they're on CBA.
Okay, I'm sorry.
36 in the front yard for solid, 4 foot in the front yard if it's not, if it's see-through or non-privacy.
See-through in the front yard. Because I take gates, because the gate, that gate.
I would just put a maximum of a solid 4 foot. 4 feet in height is the maximum solid.
Forget about whether it's solid or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
4 foot in the front, and that kind of it's see through. I don't care how high.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
If it's solid, it's 4 foot. If they want to have a see through fence, let them go up to 7 foot.
It's the same as the 7 feet.
It'll match the back. Right.
Let them go up to 7 foot like everything.
Do we have any restriction on solid in the front yard?
4 foot.
Four foot.
All right. So we call it 50 inches.
You don't like that, you know.
Hedgerow?
I mean, I don't care what they do with it. They can put shrubs up there all they want.
Because you can have trees out in front of your house that are how
tall. Look at Romina, guys. You can't even see the building anymore because the trees are so tall. Romina.
That's what I'm saying. You got trees and stuff that are taller than that. So how do you have a restriction on shrubs?
I'm not.
You're going to take out
the shrubs. I don't care if they, I think they look nice if they're landscaped properly. People caught them. I think they're beautiful, actually.
Right.
I'd rather see shrub rows all the way than any fence.
So solid in the front, nothing more than 4 foot.
And
everywhere else, seven foot.
7 foot.
Okay. All right.
But not this lance, not the shrubbery.
No, we're taking that out.
Take that out. I don't care what they do out front, the shrubbery.
In fact, I'll send this around in the next couple days before we send it to the state. I'll send it around. Just so everybody's happy with it. Okay. Last but not least, we just, Dale and Matt and I were talking about this today. Friar Tuck owes us $7,000. There's an application. It's not just Friar Tuck, it could be anybody, but there's an application for site plan approval. Where in order for them to get site plan approval, they've got to, if the town of Catskill has a judgment against them, they have to pay off the judgment. That's just right here on this piece of paper that I just gave you tonight.
Well, I'd like to go when we're done into executive session. Okay.
But we're going to check, right? But we're saying is that they can't get final approval.
They can't get approval
until this.
Whoever they are, I don't remember.
Anybody.
Friar's Cup is an example. Yes.
Right. They can't have outstanding violations and breach of tax.
Right.
I thought we did that.
We did that.
I'm adding a judgment. If there's a judgment against that.
That's fact. The judgment is a court order.
I'm just closing the loophole.
All right.
I'm closing the loophole. So that's all I got.
Motion to adjourn the public hearing.
Snucks.
Yeah.
Wait, are you ready? I mean,
motion to close the public hearing.
Was the motion to close the public hearing by Jared? We need a second.
Second
by Glenn Scannapico. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. We close the our third public hearing for tonight. There's a lot going on today.
So it's important, so.
No, because those things are, I agree with Patrick, they are all, everything we do is an important issue, and they deserve our time and attention. Get it right the first time if we can. Okay, with that, I think we're prepared at least to open up the general meeting.
We get to that email.
I don't have that email. I got my hard copy with that for now. Ted must. Things in there. Okay. Okay, first continuation, I'm just reading off the sheet here, which we did the public hearings for the local law for, public hearing on safe buildings we did, and local law for the tax levy. Okay, so minutes to be accepted for September 5th, 2023 at the regular town board meeting, and then we got the September 20th committee meeting. So we need a motion to accept those minutes.
Motion
by Patrick and seconded by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those against? Motion so carried. Resolutions, we had that kind of, well, like it's been a busy day. So I would like to entertain one that I have in my notes is the Benistar. I mean, I just feel more comfortable having a resolution that everybody's on board with that because it's a 3-year deal with that. And this is only the, like the retiree Medicare medical plan is 236.20. The part of this that we really want to vote on is the group Medicare Part D plan. And if you don't have that, I can give you this copy. And that's $257.81 for a combined total of $494.01. And the next paragraph down, if you don't have that, is additionally there is a 0% increase effective on the 25th and a 0% increase on 2026. So this is for the Express Scripts Express Scripts Group Medicare Part D program. So I'd like to just have somebody make a motion, or I'll forward
motion.
That motion by Dawn that we do a 3-year Medicare D plan. So I got a motion by Dawn, seconded by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against, motion so carried. So that sounded like a good deal.
Yeah, that was very good.
And it's nice to just.
Why is nothing to talk about this, but why is Florida called out? Do they do something different down there?
We have
retirees down there.
Yeah, they do something different down there. Their rates are different in Florida than they are, I believe, also in New York.
Well, it's the time frame that they said it might not automatically renew on January 1st.
Right. And if we do nothing on these, we're going to automatically renew into that program by the end of the month on October 31st. Which, I mean, I think we're going to stay solid with Benistar as well for the board retirees for 2024. I mean, if you want to make that inclusive in there, that's fine. I know, into the resolution. And everybody's good with staying with Benistar.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we are with it. And it seems like a good level, too. Another one that came through today, so they didn't really know much about that they were on state contract, and we want to do the Doyle thing. I don't know if everybody got a chance to look at that email. This is just for the highway garage. It is for security cameras, and it's intrusive. It's for the intrusion part of it, not cameras, just for our benefit. It's for fire smoke, and alarm, and heat. Exactly. So it's nothing about cameras at all. It's just more of an intrusion and fire, and it's monitored. I did try to get back to.
So do we have a maintenance now? How often does it need to be maintained? Because their second price is a lot of money.
Right now they just test it, and I think their maintenance and test it once a year.
And how seems to work.
The system's old. The system's over 20 years old.
Our system out there is
ancient,
and I'm not really sure how frequently it's. I mean, these transformers are buzzing out there.
I'm just saying because the cost differential between a monthly maintenance fee, it seems like a lot of money.
Yeah, what was 70 and 30?
Right, so the service and inspection, monitoring we're going to do, that's $35 a month, no matter what. So I did the the difference, it's only the time you get the difference in prices, that's in, talking to installers, that's how they lower that install rate by, $840, was that, or something like that, $5,700 to $48. So they make it look attractive on the upfront side because you're saving that difference.
That?
You see that?
Maybe the last time we paid zoning revisions, I only brought part one off.
But I mean, so
there's like 17 questions.
703. If you do
70, yeah.
Right.
If you get
the
file the last time you did this, it must be in there, right?
I got two numbers here, 570, 50.
Yeah, I didn't bring it with me. Yeah, I'll fill it out.
So I can say this. I think at town hall, I asked Kirsten to look that up. Mm-hmm. If they come in here, it's like to do the inspection, it's like $300 a year. And a service call, if they come in, it's like $100. It depends on what they're doing. But
wasn't that part called out? I thought I saw that. If we didn't do the service agreement,
they have a call out. I think where it's advantaged all in Doyle, because it's also that they got a local group here. And that helps because we're not paying for a lot of travel time for them to actually come to our locations to service it. Because we had service calls for like $120, which is pretty cheap.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see where the difference is.
Is this the only quote that we got?
Well, we got one from Catskill. I don't know if I sent that to you. His price was about the same.
This is on state contract.
So instead of going for quotes, this company's lower than Catskill Security Systems.
Is the service inspections on part of state contract, or is that where they're making up?
No, they're on there too. But you can look at that attachment. Actually, the monitoring is less. I think the monitoring was like $37.50 on the state contract, so we're a little less there too. I mean, if you don't, but again, let's see. $78 difference up front. You guys get that, Dawn? Did you try to do that?
Yeah.
The difference between the $5,700 if we don't go with it and the $48.
Mm-hmm. It's $2,700 difference.
And what's the yearly inspection cost?
The ones that they've done here is like $300, and when they come in and do it here, it's like $350-ish, $300 in that area. And I don't know how many heads we got here that they, I don't know how they gauge that.
We also have the three floors.
Minus 488 bucks. There's a difference between option one, the upfront money, and then $70 a month times that by 12 is about 840. So that's 840. But again, you're going to spend $300 of it anyway.
So it's a service and inspection, right?
Yeah.
$70 a month. Monitoring is $35 a month.
Yep, so it's
$105.
So we're paying $70 every month for.
We're not now. We're paying just $35.
I'm saying.
If we went that route.
Yeah. That's $105 a month.
Right. Over the course of 48 months.
Right, because you're going to sign an agreement to it.
Yeah.
Right. And we're saving $800. What are we saving up on? $878.
But what are you saying? To do this building, it's like $350.
Yes.
So we're saying that building is only a single story.
They have a lot. Well, how many? They got 22. They got 22 heat detectors. I don't know if they, but 20, only two smoke detectors. So that's not too bad, actually. All
right. I just pulled up mine because I.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Do for my internal inspection in the stations, right? So for my Catskill, there's four buildings.
Yeah.
Each building has heat detectors, smoke detectors,
yep.
CO2 detectors,
yep.
Strobes, pull stations. Right? Yep. For four buildings for the yearly inspection is $425.
That's cheap. Did they install it or they just monitor this company?
No, they install and monitor. Right. And the monitoring is $860 for the year.
How much?
$860.
For four buildings. I think the monitoring is not a bad thing. I mean, 35. I mean, state contract was 37.50. If you want to get additional prices, I'm just saying, being it was on state contract and it was lower than.
Well, to me, they're making back their money on the service.
Absolutely. That's how it gets played.
Because if we were, say, just for whatever, 350, right now, 70 times.
Did I say this? Do you guys got. Well, it's actually.
Is 840.
Was for cameras, I think you put in there for Castle. That would probably should have been on there. Let's see if I can find that.
Right, that was Karen.
We can table the whole thing, we don't have to go, it's just that it was on state contract, so. I mean, if you want to go with it, we can still look for, you know, that company that you're dealing with full too. I mean, what happens in an emergency with, I mean, what do they charge you for a service call? Are they, when they come in?
I'm trying to pull up my last yearly.
I mean, I didn't think about it until today, but with Doyle close by, you don't have a lot of travel time because they're in Catskill. You know, because a lot of these guys charge you from the time they leave their, you know, the portal.
Yeah, I mean, we get charged, yeah. Travel time.
I thought
but
the
their overall service is cheap, so it kind of works. Evens out, you know what I mean?
I mean, we don't have to go with the service because, like I say, over time we can chance it, and you know, and really, are we really religious as far as doing that every year on the year? Or we kind of lax a little. I mean, we should do it every year on these inspections because that's the right way to do business.
And the only reason why I didn't go with Doyle because when we set these all up, we went with all. And again, the service is more expensive than the hardwire, right? Because the internet, let's face it, the internet is very unreliable.
Right.
So we want to sell it, right? I'm booked up with cellular at every station. We've never lost a signal.
And they have that in the quote too. If we were
right, but they,
if we're doing the voice, they don't want to be responsible for it.
They wouldn't do it back a couple years ago with cellular. So that's why we went with a different company.
Well, I think maybe the way it sounds, we want to get more. If we don't have to, it just happens out of hand. We don't have to act on it, so we can get more information. I'm fine with that.
Well, we just.
You want to table it or what?
Oh, why don't you get that company to call and give us a quote?
Yeah.
So we'll table this.
Catskill Security came in higher. Joe.
That was, we saw that a while.
That was Cameron.
Yeah, let me see if I got
that. Oh,
that was Cameron.
Some of the fire was in there too. Yeah, there was multiple. What was the last for me? September.
Actually, CBD is the one that installed all this stuff.
Yeah, fire intrusion was on 920.
920
from Catskill Security Systems.
Said it in
September 20th, it says fire intrusion for Highway Department. They're
it's in your
monitoring is $34.95 and the service contract is $25 a month.
And the job price, and I think they were apples for apples, was $62.74.
Yes.
And I think the monitoring might have been included in that, though, Jared?
No, this is $34.95 for monitoring.
Their service contract is only $25 a month versus $70. And that was the other reason why we
and that's why I think, like, you know what I mean? Everybody ages out.
I'm not a big supporter of this
one.
Not this one, the other one.
You like this one? You like this one better?
No.
The Doyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. They're more stable. No?
They've been sold. Because it's not Doyle anymore. It's
Doyle out in Rochester. It's a big company. Let's see if somebody knows what that now.
Yeah, I think they're another.
They kept their name, but they
yeah,
were
but
bought out.
It's
right.
Not local anymore.
No,
right.
No, it's
yeah.
Not. Oh, it's definitely not local.
Yeah.
It's a big company.
Right.
But at least they're gonna, like this, and I think this particular company is good for security cameras where you don't have monitor. You get it in, it's a standalone like we did at the senior center. It's done. Where we're not gonna
right.
Be looking for further maintenance on that system
right.
For the most part. I think what we'll do. Let's just take. Let's the. If you want to give me that number, if you
yeah.
Want to have to send them over, we can get another look. I mean, I just let it was on state contract.
Yeah,
we could also look at ADT.
The monitoring,
that's
the monitoring for them for 4 years is only $1,200. The service contract for 4 years is $1,200
for
the Casco quote.
Again, just because it was on state contracts, and we need to get, if we're not going to do state contract, we need to bring in at least another vendor or two to take a peek. So that's fine. Good enough. I just wanted to see what your thoughts were. Okay. Patricia brings up planning board training. Do we need, first of all, we've got the book. The one up out there, we had the battery storage thing at the fire department. And also, are you interested in doing that? I want to put you on the spot, Ted, about training the planning board, or is that something we should look at Delaware Engineering to do? Well, we do have a lot of members in planning.
Why don't they have to go to the county free trip?
Or just go on the New York State website and do the training online.
All I'm saying is, I got an email from the planning board secretary wants to know is, I don't know if it's become our responsibility. I mean, everything is our responsibility, but they're asking me,
sure,
which is meaning you and everybody on the board, what's our game plan for training? I mean, if we want to say everybody's going to do it online and give them a memo, that's great. But a lot of, I don't know if everybody wants to do that, but they're asking us, what are we doing for training for planning and zoning? And if our answer is it's going to be online, we can say that, but I think, in the past, and I don't know how long the past maybe, is it outdated to have somebody come in and have a Q&A as well with everybody on the same page? I don't know. But you want to add to that, Ted?
Well, I did it last year for the village. It's a lot of work for me, but the reason I did it was almost an emergency because the ZBA was meeting and the ZBA members didn't have any training. So the ZBA doesn't meet very often, so they meet once a year or whatever they do. So we had a ZBA meeting coming up. And they needed to be trained, so I was kind of, the village was under the gun, and they inquired from the Conference of Mayors if the village attorney can do the training, and I wasn't authorized, but if they authorized me, if the village board authorized me, then I was authorized. So if you have somebody that gave the training. Like they did to Bill DeLuca and whoever else, a couple of weeks ago, it would be easy enough to just make a motion to authorize whatever the person's name is, to authorize that person to be an authorized presenter, and that's it.
Right.
I mean, you could do it right here.
I mean, if they're looking at us for, first of all, they all know they need 4 hours of training. And they all know where
they
need to
train. I think they. I don't know what.
It sounds like the chairperson of the planning board needs to step up and tell these people what's expected of them and where they get their training.
She actually tells them that every month.
Well, and there's she needs to tell them what happens if they don't.
There's people that are very conscientious, and then there's other people that don't do it.
And those are people that need to.
And I think on the same line as they're going to have that double meeting. But again, and maybe that's something as board members we got to take into consideration when we make appointments and interview people. How committed are they to the process? When they had two board members, two meetings, or even if it's one, and this a little bit came from Teresa, our chair, is that when you had a meeting, you planned your stuff. Or if you only have one meeting a month and you're trying to do something, you do your very best to attend and fulfill that commitment that you signed up for. In general conversation, I don't know if everybody feels that way today. In other words, if they're going, and it's just not our planning board, it's probably in every industry in America, but they want a life, and if they're going to do that vacation, they're going on that vacation, regardless if there's a meeting or not. And let's be honest, we all get paid up here. They get $50 a meeting. How much do they really want to inconvenience themselves if they got a big, it's not a job, it's more of a community service.
How long is their term each
plan? Seven years. And 5 on the zoning.
7 years?
7-member board, 7 years.
Yeah, and 5 on the zoning. So, and not that everybody fulfills that.
So there's 2 classes coming up, 1 October 26th at the college, 1 October 30th at the college.
And what days of the week are they? I think what they're looking for is convenience. If they can say we're having it here.
What's more convenient than online?
Right. And would it be cheaper?
It's free.
Yes,
there you go.
Well, I mean, in the past, and I don't know if we got different members, but we had people that really weren't acquainted with an iPad or a desktop.
Should he give them an option?
And they still print, and I don't know if that still happens, but some I print for my convenience with papers. Others didn't read emails that well, and they make packets for them. So it's easy online because that's what maybe we've grown up with, but that doesn't mean everybody else is as comfortable learning in an online.
They can go to the county free roll.
If you, whatever you want, whatever, I'm just saying.
You know, I'm opposed to paying Ted or anybody else to come in and train someone when there's free training available.
And I don't know, I mean, at one point I thought Delaware was going to give us training, and I don't know if that would be on the cuff or not.
I remember Mary.
But I think she used to, but I don't know, I don't foresee that happening in the near future for them coming down. So the answer is our response is that we'll send them a list of online training that's available with links. Is that something that would, how you...
And live training at the county.
I just sent everybody the email, so if you want to respond with your own comments individually, that's not a bad thing. I'm just relaying what's posed to me, and sometimes I can't speak for everybody as well. I mean, that's what they're again, I'm just...
I'd pose it back to the chairperson. This is your board, you're in charge of it. This is what's expected.
Put that in the email and send it.
But if somebody has difficulty, they can always come into town hall and use one of the computers for their training.
I think most of our boards today are pretty savvy. I mean, I think we're,
cell phone. One of them survived on Zoom for 3 years going to meetings, so he can use a computer.
He's probably the computer, though.
And I have to add that we are the only municipality that I know that pays the members to come and go to training.
That's what I'm saying, so. You'll get free training
online. For taking a training class. We pay.
Which is good. I mean,
I think it's a good thing. I think it is a good thing. We look at values on it. And again, I don't think any. And if you look online and other announcements out there, a lot of municipalities are always searching for members that, they have vacancies on probably most boards. I see it's on Facebook all the time. And the communities that are our neighboring towns. So it's just hard to get volunteers that want to do these things. But anyway, I just wanted to pass that along. Okay, I guess we should read through all the correspondence. So we had Green County Resolution 305-23 due to the respective towns of the Board of Election Charter Acts. Green County Resolution 291-23 awards for bids of abrasive for snow cop control and ice control. Letter from Sean Groden, County Administrator, regarding parking lots for the senior center. We probably need a motion on that. Are we okay with that without a motion?
I have an issue with them using the parking lot.
It's a temporary. It's 10 cars.
They're parking in the back of them?
They're going to park all the way in the back.
It's only 10 cars?
Yeah.
That's not what the letter says.
Yes, it does.
I think you'd have to pull it, but it was something like 10.
It was very limited amount.
Yeah. I mean, one hand washes the other. We can't help out our local municipality to park cars in the back, and we have other people parking there that shouldn't park there.
I thought they wanted to park a lot of cars. No, it's just 10.
Why they're doing construction on the
right. It's how long going to be? 2 weeks.
Let's put that in the form of a motion, I guess. Is anybody, motion by Patrick, Salida County, and seconded by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those against? Motion so carried. Let's see. See at Silver Linings, we'll talk about that during our budget process, but we do have a request for funding there. Email from Judge Jacobs regarding the courtroom for the Pure Court Community Action of Greene County. Does everybody read that?
Yes, I think it's a great...
I don't think it works with our schedule.
Liz, didn't you get 2 Wednesdays that were available?
Yeah, it was two times a month that they could use it. Right. Isn't that what that is?
Yeah.
We want to let the community action and the high school or whoever the students are use the courtrooms, for training and peer-to-peer type of...
And it may not be every month. It depends upon if they have...
Community center used the courtroom for training and peer-to-peer. Seconded by Paul Bosberg. Any further comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those against? Motion so carried. Notice of in-person statement of hearing, New York State Public Service announcement, public service for Central Hudson's. They're going to use the senior center, so that's going to be on October 17th. Email from Sean Mahoney, town supervisor, regarding seasonal parking and along the Ice Climbers lot and the Rat Hole parking area within the Catterskill Club Cove. Letter from Green County Acting Clerk, the Green County Legislator, Tammy Scavillo, requesting a town's budget, which we knew about, requesting use of senior center from Reverend Turpin for Reverend Sue's birthday celebration on October 21. So that's going to require some discussion from us, if we want to allow that to happen or not to happen. I know in the past, it's nice to open it up. We did, and I don't know what, we did have some issues when they, I thought they wanted to use the kitchen last time, and I don't know how that all went, because the stove was off. And I do know in the past that we weren't going to allow birthday parties up there. So that's been our past practice since COVID. So are we going to stick to our past practices, or are we going to start to allow birthday parties at the senior center? Because if we start that, then it's going to be...
I don't think we should. If
we're going to allow one party to have a birthday
Jamie
party...
Jamie puts a lot of time into the decorations.
Decorations and chairs and chairs. And again, we're not going to have the staffing. I don't know when the 21st
is. It's the 22nd, I'm sorry. It's a 22nd. Sunday.
It's a Sunday?
Sunday.
So, that means our guys, the two of them would be on overtime to open it up unless we have volunteers. I just think it's opening up.
I think we already said no to one birthday party this year, so it has to be the same for everybody.
Okay, so we're going to say no on that. Patrick, you okay with the disallowing that for everybody? Okay. I don't think we need a motion on it, but we're not going to bring that forward. What else we got? Continuing business, we took care of those local laws. Highly we talked about.
Just a quick question regarding the Sean Mahoney thing. Is he looking to lift all the signs that people can park there or cannot park there? Just
cannot park there.
Because I thought it is already that they can't park there.
Well, I think some of it's seasonal, and then they open it back up, for the leaf peepers when swimming and all that kind of stuff.
Because we've had multiple incidents up there with drownings and people getting hurt this year, and I tell you, it was chaos with cars parking where they shouldn't even be parking, even with tickets on them. So.
Yeah. It's gotten a lot better with the trolley and that. I mean, it's still a work in progress. That was in last month's JRs that they had... Sean sent a letter to the DEC, and I kind of backed him on it, not necessarily officially, is like put signage up if you're going into certain locations where there's been multiple deaths or rescue attempts that, Fawns we probably were talking about, and the falls itself is like saying, use caution. In 2023, we had 3 deaths, 5 multiple serious things. And, it's like, I kind of always go back to the ghost bike that you see in crosswalks that, he doesn't think the DEC is going to like it a whole lot because you're putting a little fear into people, but a little caution goes a long way potentially, and maybe it saves somebody's life.
Also knowledge. People should know that you don't wear flip-flops to climb up.
You can't fix stupid. Can we agree on that? You're not going to fix this problem.
Right, but I think at least it's a little...
You can't regulate that.
Right. It's prohibited. The state doesn't want to fix the problem. So.
Right, but I mean, but a little bit of signage, so that's where we're on the history on that. Okay?
Are you going to adopt Local Law 5 of 2023, overriding the tax levy limit for fiscal year 2024?
Because we had that public hearing,
Right, you need a motion to...
Yes.
Motion.
Motion by Dawn Scannapico. Second by Paul Osberg. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.
And what about the adoption of 4, the zoning amendments? Are you going to wait until the 18th meeting to do it?
I think we're good with everything that we talked about tonight. So let's make...
Do the secret.
Okay.
All right, you ready for that?
Yeah, we're ready for the secret.
Okay. I'll ask the questions. I'll assume that all the answers are no impact or small impact unless somebody tells me different. 17 questions. Proposed
Proposed impact may involve construction on or physical alteration of the land surface of the proposed site. The proposed action may result in a modification or destruction or inhibit access or any unique or unusual landforms on the site, for example, cliffs, dunes, minerals, fossils, caves. The proposed action may affect one or more wasteland or other surface water bodies, for example, streams, rivers, ponds, or lakes. The proposed action may result in new or additional use of groundwater or have the potential to introduce contaminants to groundwater or an aquifer. The proposed action may result in development on land subject to flooding. The proposed action may include a state-regulated air emission source. The proposed action may result in the loss of flora or fauna. The proposed action may impact agricultural resources. The land use of the proposed action are obviously different from or in contrast to current land use patterns. The proposed action may occur in or adjacent to historical or archaeological resource. The answer to that is yes, but there's no small or moderate impact or small impact on the environment. The proposed action may result in a loss of recreational opportunities or reduction of open space resources designated in any adopted municipal open space plan. The proposed action may be located within or adjacent to a critical environmental area. The proposed action may result in a change to existing transportation systems. The proposed action may result in an increase in the cost of any form of energy. The proposed action may result in an increase in noise, odors, or outdoor lighting. The proposed action may have an impact on human health from exposure to new or existing sources of contaminants. The proposed action is not consistent with adopted land use plans. The proposed action is inconsistent with the existing community character. If the answer to all of those questions, except the fact that we're adjacent to a historical district, all the other answers are no or little impact, you can entertain a motion
by Patrick. Negative declaration. Need a second?
Aye.
Seconded by Jared. All in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Thank you.
Now you can vote on the revision.
Now we need a. You got
to make a motion to.
Motion to break.
Local law number 4.
And we need a second for local 4.
Second.
Seconded by Patrick. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. A lot of work.
You're going to vote now on Hickory Notch?
Yes.
Yes. So Hickory Notch, that we're going to...
Motion to
put up RFP, and
notice to the county.
And notice to the county. So we got a motion by Paul Bosberg, seconded by Jared Giordano.
If there's no
further action,
remediation has started by October 9th.
By October 9th. And then our wishes are going to be to remove the structures that are in question.
Right.
Okay. Sounds good. Seconded by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those against? Motion so carried. Okay. I think we pretty much there except for the budget. So
yes, you have the 2024 tentative budget.
So as everybody knows, it's a lot of work went into the budget like it does every year, a lot of considerations. We heard back from all our department heads. Again, everybody did a good job. I can't compliment Kirsten enough. She puts a lot of work, pays attention to every detail, and she really double checks things, triple checks things. So I'm very comfortable, and I publicly just would like to thank Kirsten for the work that she does for us each and every day. But this document, she works all summer on it. She takes it very seriously, and it really helps us out tremendously as a town board. So I just briefly, just a few notes on it that I'll add to it, is what we just got this word today, which is nice. So in the book, we'll just to start out, it's a little better than what we're starting out. I think we were at like 8.34 ways that we held solid, and that went down to 7.71, and that was because today we got notification that the health insurance CDPHP for the plan we're in now has got a 0% increase, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
Retirees, which is the Benistar we talked about earlier today, that went up 2.5%. And then we're still waiting on NISHIP, and we're probably going to more than likely have our budget passed before we get those numbers. The other ones that had a major impact on our budget was employee wages. And I'll retract on that. So in the budget is reflecting town hall employees are 3.5%, and that coincides with our highway department employees, and they're in contractually with CSEA. They're getting a 3.5% increase. Ambulance, which we actually started paying in 2023, we budgeted for a 3% increase last year in our budget. In actuality, that was it ended up being an 11. When you added everybody up, it was an 11% in that contract. So that's why that's going to be a higher number this year. That's our impact. And we didn't budget for that. The full, I think we gave $1.75 per hour plus a 2.5% raise for ambulance employees. So that's why, so it's, you know, across the board it was 11%. And then this year in 2024, contractually the ambulance employees are getting a 3% raise. So we're investing in our employees to provide excellent service to our community. I mean, it's our human capital. Without our employees and doing services, you know, we really can't run a town and give the services that our residents expect and deserve. So I just wanted to, again, it's not a negative, but the big part of our A fund, our ambulance, as it stands right now, is up about $221,000. But that we'll talk about that in our budget meeting. But that's really a lot where our revenue, where our expenses are going to come from. Fund balance applied, and I can talk about that a little bit. You know, to keep, because it's realistic. I'm always the kind of a person is that, let's bring the money in before we spend it. So we didn't raise any of the revenue projections in there, but we did good in revenue. So, and we still have a lot more work to do as a board to get this where we want to be or where we should be. I mean, it's not only just about that tax number, it's about what's it going to cost us to do those services. So fund balance applied, $230,000 on the A fund. And I'm going to go over it again with Kirsten on the fund balances, but we have some numbers in there. For the most part, we're fairly healthy. And maybe the DB is probably going to become our weakest fund balance category. So we applied $230,000 to the A fund from projected, and where we came from that is to get the overages in revenue, which was from the ambulance. As we all know, we got the VIP account, so we've done very well in interest this year. So, you know, that's two of the items where we're pulling that 230. B fund is 125 from it, and again, that had interest on the VIP account. Planning board fees were up. We did well in the short-term rental fees. So far, we haven't used much of the legal fees, so instead of re-levying it, we just float that back into fund balance, and people have been on the board. Software, we always put $40,000 in software, and we haven't spent that money, so we're not retaxing that, so we just keep rolling that back up into fund balance, so we, you know, the money's available, but we didn't spend that in 23. DB account, I applied $100,000, again, that had roughly $35,000 projected in interest on what we have in the highway funds, and again, what we did this year, because we finally are making some decent interest, instead of just applying that to the A fund, so whatever fund had the monies, it goes back to those taxpayers within that fund instead of just giving it to the A. So it's broke down accordingly. Let's see what we did here. And also on that is VIP, lower labor costs. We have, you know, we seem like we always have a vacant. It's hard to get a CDL driver right now, so we're saving a little bit in that category. And last year purchases, like the DB, I mean, we're still right there. We'll have to make a decision if we want to be at the six-month fund balance category or four, but we're hovering around four. But we'll talk about that in more detail when we get into our budget meetings. So last year, purchases included the excavator and trailer. As it stands now, last year our per thousand rate was $7.21. Again, this is just a starting point. It's a tentative budget, so it's not really anything to go to the bank with. It's just it's just a number for today. Is $7.78 per. Let's see. So if you have a $250,000 home at a 40% valuation rate, you know your taxes would be $7.78 versus $7.21. And again, tentative only. And I also put number six, no department heads requests have been changed in the tentative budget. I think that's a rule that we can all talk about with a line by item to see, you know, what the goods and the bads and what we need and what we want. So that's a number seven, assessor's office change in staffing levels by 20 hours per week, which will be reflected in that line item. Ambulance department, one of the highlights, and these are just a few things. The ambulance department, they're asking for an additional full-time EMT, and they lowered their overtime rate by, so the employees say it was $29,000, so they took $29,000 out of that overtime line. Maybe that compensates out, but obviously there's additional costs that go with that employee, because you're going to have, you know, the Social Security, and if they become, you know, it could be another $20,000, $25,000 on the benefit side. So that's just something that, you know, we should think about, and we'll be ready for our discussions. Highway department, their line and the equipment, I think, was up to $110,000. From what I can gather, they were looking at buying a 5500 series plow truck. Again, we can talk about that in our budget meetings, if it's a one-year purchase or should it be spread. Number 10, central garage spray foam, that's in there as well. I mean, I think that's like a $16,000 item. We can talk about that. And the cameras, but if it's a one-time purchase, we do have some ARPA funds available, so it doesn't necessarily, everything's got to be, you know, part of the yearly 2024 budget. Just a few things. Town hall improvements are near completion, but we get a little further down the road until today. Senior center, that's pretty much completed. HVAC system, things we should look at is the central garage and the ambulance building. We talked about it. I mean, it's still going to be something that needs further discussion as a potential reassessment, 25 or 26. Ambulance replacement, that never goes away. I think we George has $30,000 in there, and if we didn't spend this year, I'd like to reserve that $30,000 in that area. Again, that's up to discussion. Highway equipment, we made some decent purchases over the last few years, and I think it's, you just evaluate. I mean, we can't not continue to make improvements because you fall behind. Same thing with the information technology, with the PCs. I just didn't have time. I was going to bring that up tonight, but I didn't get enough. I was, you know, maybe buying five desktops to keep that rotation going. Phone upgrade at Town Hall. I think that's going to save us some money. That's been completed. Ambulance, we got the fiber in there. I'm just not really sure of the total, if we're totally hooked up on the ambulance with phone or not. And just like I say, it's my hope just sharing the information. It's just a little note to everybody, you know, that we're here to help them. And anybody's got any questions or concerns, I'm available. The public's not here tonight, but if you can actually ask any board member any questions as well. That's a brief, I guess, recap of what I see coming in. I know it's brief, Paul, but it could be much better. I think it's, anyway.
All right, it's a bigger motion.
So we need a motion.
We're going to go into executive session with the town attorney to discuss specific legal matters. To conduct any business when we come out of the session.
Seconded by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Have a good night.
Good night.